saving money in your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
The two of you find yourself in and moving through the town of Greyview. Greyview at night becomes certainly a more tense place. Greyview is this last bastion before you cross into the forest, this great and dangerous place. And so at night, people lock themselves away. Some of them in the tavern, some of them in their homes. Whilst they may continue about their lives, they all pray for one thing. That no monsters arrive. And that they don't lose anyone. And so as you move through, people are closing up, preparing for the night ahead. You find your way to the edge of town, where you see Old Man Hemlock. And that is what most people call him. Old Man Hemlock is a hunched man with long grey hair. And he's currently stood by two horses attached to a wagon. And on the wagon, you can see a wooden box that's got a drape over it.
Ah! Hello. Ah, it's Solus. How have you been?
I've been well. And yourself?
Yes, you know, still here, which is a surprise to me, and I'm sure to you. Last time he had to check some things, and the reading wasn't good, Killian.
I see.
Yes. Thank you, though, the cream is helping.
Glad to hear it.
So you would know that Old Man Hemlock is... He is the town seer.
And hemorrhoid captain. And,
yes. That's an image I did not want to have today.
He, much like Gareth, does readings for people, though he's given a little bit more time of day than perhaps Gareth is. He reads patterns in smoke. He's also the town chatterbox. So if you ever wanted a little bit of information or gossip, Old Man Hemlock has everything. Like, he knows everything. And I think you have to be very careful about what you tell Old Man Hemlock, because maybe that could be also useful in some instances, because you know that if you give him something in confidence, it will be shared.
So, are you going for the reckoning, Killian?
Yes, that's pretty common knowledge by this point,
Hemlock. Yes, good, good. Do you think you're going to get it?
Yes, I'm pretty confident.
Wow, that is good. That is very good. Are you excited about competing against Anya?
Excited is not the word I would use, to be honest, but I don't really think she's much competition anyway.
Ooh.
You see, that's just like scribbling something like down on a piece of paper next to him.
Okay, yes.
At this point, Killian reaches into his satchel.
Ah! Sorry, I thought you had a knife.
It's just a little bit of whiskey. It's...
Oh, yeah, I'll have some of that too, yeah. Ooh, yeah, nice, good shout.
He passes it over reluctantly.
Ah, ooh, yeah, that's the black rest stuff, that.
Yeah, they make it good back there. I swig some myself and I offer some to Solus.
Not for me, thank you.
Yeah, you're goody two-shoes. Well, anyway. Who's in the box?
Oh, just one of the locals.
Roll me a deception check.
14.
Oh, a sad indeed. When I go, Solus, Will you make sure that someone looks after my goats?
You know I will, my friend.
I appreciate that a lot. They've been my only companion since my wife left me.
And he's just going to keep talking. Like, you know that once he gets on a roll about his wife, he's just going to keep talking. So you're probably best just making your way.
That's about how we feed his goats to the monsters.
What? What was that?
Nothing. Huh? Nothing.
You want to feed my goats?
Nothing at
Come
all.
Come by any time. You can feed them. Not a problem.
Of course.
And if you ever need any cream...
Don't come to me.
And fades off into the background as you jump aboard this wagon and head out of Greyview Crossing. You will make a journey west as you keep the forest on your right, just the other side of the Ash Creek. The aptly named Ash Creek, which once upon a time did start out as but a small stream of water, has since turned into a roaring and raging river with huge canyon-like sides and the water rushing far below you, but you can still hear it kind of crashing beneath. And it provides quite a nice auditory distraction from the rather unsettling whispers and moans that you might hear escaping the forest at this time of night. And as you travel up this road, you have a lantern for some light. You don't tend to see too much at this time, but why don't you both go ahead and roll me a perception check?
12.
13.
Solas, you notice this first, that there appears to be someone stood in the road a little ways ahead of you. They are right on the sort of cliff, almost like cliff's edge that leads down into the Ash Creek, and they're staring out towards the forest. They don't have a lantern, and they seem to be have a hood up. What would you both like to do?
I let Killian know what I've seen.
I put my hand on Solas's shoulder just to stop him moving any further forward, and reach in to fetch an arrow from behind me and slowly draw it, looking ahead just to see if there's any sudden movements.
As you stop, this figure notices you. And as it turns to look, you see this strange wooden mask with eye holes and a mouth kind of cut into it, but underneath is just black. You are probably both slightly relieved, as you know this individual to be the Sin Eater. The Sin Eater is a... You don't know who sort of performs the role of the Soul Eater, but essentially they would arrive and they perform a ritual which is supposed to eat the sins of the dead. And they begin to approach. You see this strange kind of distended wooden mask and this robed figure, and they slowly approach, sort of not really paying any mind to you at all. They go to the back of the this cart, place a hand on the top, they mutter some words under their breath, and then they continue walking. D4, John?
We do.
The world as you know it has ended. Welcome to the Evopocalypse. No one knows what caused this catastrophic ecological disaster, but in its wake, humanity is on the brink of extinction, and planet Earth has never been more alive. You and your fellow players are survivors, venturing out from desperate settlements with limited tools and dwindling resources. You must survive highly evolved predators and warped colossal creatures, with no memory of the animals they once were. But there is still hope. Together, you will explore the world you once knew, using your finely honed survival skills and repurposed weapons, not to mention mysterious and unpredictable resurrection technology. Hunt down the source of this disaster, even as it hunts you back. Force of Extinction is a brand new TTRPG that makes you feel like the post-apocalyptic hero of your dreams. Or nightmares. Be the first to face off against the EVOpocalypse when the game launches this June on Backerkit. Go to forceofextinction.com to sign up today so you don't miss out.
You travel for a couple of hours. You see on your left, as you're crossing through this land, a number of smaller outcroppings or villages. There are one or two outposts as well. These are positioned by the chain crossings, these old kind of defunct ways that used to be used to cross the Ash Creek. These large chains where you could essentially hitch, you know, deliveries or kind of big items and kind of haul them across this big chasm, though the use of them has been generally outlawed now, as it led to far too many illegal hunts. These chain crossings, you probably know very well, Killian, as you've definitely used a few of these before when having to escape the forest rather quickly and not wanting to alert Greyview to the fact that you'd been there. From one of these outposts, however, you do find that one individual, a dwarven man, calls out to you and says, "Hail! Who goes there?"
"Killian of Blackrest."
"Killian! Fendril." You know him as a local mason, actually, from a similar kind of area of the isle to you. "A new, sorry, friend, I don't know if I've seen you before."
"A friend, no more."
"Understood. Do you head to the mountain?"
"Yes."
"I'm sorry. I, just wanted to, He throws up a sign to you, like a hand gesture, which you recognize as a sign of the Veiled Hand. And he kind of looks over to you and says, "There's been a few passed this way recently. It might be worth treading carefully."
"What have you seen?"
"I didn't think much of it, but it is strange to see you passing through. But there was a few of the council members had passed this way, Maeve and two others. It was an odd way for them to come into Greyview. I didn't see them cross either. I've been here for the last few days."
"What could this mean?"
"You are far more astute, I'm sure, than me. I'm just here to relay the information. I truly don't know what it could mean. It's just odd. That's all."
"But they didn't have a body with them."
"A body? No, no. That's why I thought it weird that they were coming back from the mountains. Or, at least from... Well, there's not really any villagers of note down there. I'm not sure why any council members would need to go down there, but you never know. There could have been some crisis, perhaps, they were showing face. Still seemed a little strange that I didn't see them coming back this way."
"I'm sure it was nothing untoward."
"I certainly hope so, friend. I think now... After you've been traveling for a few hours, this is probably when you hear it. Just from behind you both, you hear a scraping. Like the sound of nails on wood." "Are you okay? Is there something wrong?"
"We're fine. Be on your way."
"What do you both do?"
"We look at one another."
"I've heard this before. But never out here. Only ever in the forest."
"What do you know it to be?"
"It's a tall, gangly, ropey, very strange entity. Not easy to kill, not impossible to kill. But if the monsters are coming out, something's not right."
"I think think is at this point that it starts happening frequently enough. Well, I ask you first, are you continuing to move? Or are you staying positioned where you are by the tower? By the, like, the little outpost that's here?
I think it depends, like, how close we feel towards, like, we can both feel this presence.
You can hear it, literally.
You can hear it, yeah.
Behind you, yeah.
It's not coming from the box, it's coming from behind us, is that right?
As you say that, yes. You realise it is coming from inside the box.
Oh my god.
I think we stay still.
Wait. We're too late.
I stand perfectly still, waiting, listening.
There's no sense in taking it to the mountain now. It won't matter. We need to get rid of him. I reach into my belt and pick up the dagger fashioned from a very large monster tooth. This belonged to my brother. And I beckon to Solas to move to the side of the road. I move towards the coffin, put my hand upon it, and start to undo the bolts. Dagger in hand, poised and ready. I lift the coffin.
You lift the lid of the coffin?
Yep.
Well, for the first time on Oaths and Empires, I would like you both to roll me initiative, which is the beginning of combat. So if you roll me a d20, and then you will add your initiative score, which is a +1 for you, Killian, and a +2 for you, Solas.
8.
A miserable 4.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that whatever's in this box rolled a dirty 20.
Grey.
Fuck.
Killian, your eyes expect to look upon the body of an old and frail woman. And what you see, not lying, but already climbing its way out of this makeshift coffin, is not small or frail. A huge orc that you recognize.
Oh my god.
As you see, distended, bloated, with black ichor leaking from his eyes and his mouth and from a gash that runs across his throat, you see Rhys Blackhand changed and deformed. And it immediately takes a hand on your shoulder and digs its claws into you as it makes an attack, and
my friend,
it hits.
Not my friend.
Just when Killian thought his day couldn't get any worse.
This is the worst day ever.
You take 5 points of piercing damage as this giant hand, you see now these where the end of his fingers, the bones are now like distending and pushing through, making these large and strange claws, and starts to dig them into your shoulder. With the other hand, it lifts up and smashes half of the lid of this coffin in half and like rips this huge splinter off and throws it with an unnatural force towards you, Solas. That's a natural 20 for me.
Holy damn.
It's a bit early for
this,
isn't it?
It is a bit early. Oh my god. Okay, didn't roll that well, but that is 10 points of damage, Solas, as this huge chunk of splintered wood launches into your shoulder and you feel yourself scrambling backwards.
I am now the proud owner of 3 hit points total, by the way. My first...
Love it.
First experience of combat.
Jeez. That's not going to be easy to recover from.
So, with that huge attack on Solas, a natural 20, the first roll against you, Solas.
That is crazy.
Killian of Blackrest, it is now your turn.
Well, I think I have to respond... pretty strongly to that. So I'm going to do Hunter's Mark.
Love it. Okay. So I think you sort of focus in. You take a minute to look at the environment around you. You study it. You study this creature. I think you're identifying already weaknesses that it has, like this, you know, mark on its neck being one of them. You can see that as it's still in the process of going through this transformation, so it's not like as strong as something that, like some of the things that you've come up against in the forest, where they've completed this transformation. Like, this transformation seems extremely painful for this creature. But you mark it, and would you like to attack?
Yes.
Amazing. What would you like to attack with?
Well, I'm pretty close quarters already, and there's not really much time to get away from him.
You are right up there.
Yes, so we'll use the war pick.
So as you wield your brother's war pick made from the tooth of a long-dead monster, the back half of it sharp and to a point, the other half like some sort of grinding post. So you bring up with both hands. Go ahead and roll me an attack roll, please.
12.
So that'll be a 16, which does hit.
Good.
So now roll me 1d10 plus 2.
9.
Okay, so that is 11 points of damage, which is not nothing. As you bring this war pick, and I think for you, Solas, this might be the first time that you've seen Killian in action, and sort of despite having just taken this huge hit on his shoulder, brings up this war pick with both arms, wheels it around, clocks this thing straight in the face. It seems to break the neck of this creature, but still it lumbers on. It did take a significant amount of damage, however.
You're welcome.
We now go to Solas. It is your turn. Killian mutters, "You're welcome." The creature just...
Thanks.
Solas, what would you like to do? Are you looking to heal yourself, or are you getting involved in this fray and helping Killian?
I think I'm getting involved, if okay. I'm well enough to.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to attack with the... Yeah, I think I'll go with the quarterstaff for now.
Great, so you stride forward with your with this long quarterstaff.
19.
19 plus 4, that's a 23 to hit. That absolutely hits. I don't know whether you're necessarily aiming for it, but where it's kind of, its neck is now broken and it's turned like towards you and sees you coming, you thrust out this quarterstaff. At the end of it, just pokes straight through this thing's eye. And you can see it was way easier to do that than it should have been. And you can tell because some of the flesh and the eyes have started to rot and decay already. You kind of push through it. As it screams in pain, as you do 4 points of damage, and it's already looking pretty hurt. So, you all watch as whistling through the air is the unmistakable sound of a loosed arrow as it sticks into the side of this creature's head. As you, the guard that you saw earlier looses an arrow in your direction, it's like, "What the bloody hell is that thing?" Screaming out towards you, and he does 5 points of damage. It is, however, back to the creature's turn, and given a sizable hit that you landed, Killian, turns its full ire on you. I rolled a 1 and a 2 for my damage die, so that could have been a lot worse.
Thank God.
So you take 3, still 7 points of damage as it picks you up now by the shoulder, digging these claws further and further in, and then almost like a ragdoll just throws you down to the ground. This creature is going to attempt to get away from you both. You see, as this creature now is going to start running back in the direction of Greyview. You know that you are some distance away. It's taken you probably the best part of 5 or 6 hours to get to this point. But it's going to sort of head down that way. So, Solas, you will get an opportunity attack, which is basically an out-of-turn opportunity because they're leaving your threatened range. Is essentially you making a sort of an attack to try and get them. So if you would like to do that, go ahead and roll me an attack roll.
7.
Yeah, that will hit. Just.
Okay.
Just. Okay. Go ahead and roll damage.
2 plus 2, so 4.
You take your quarterstaff and strike it in the back, and that same thing happens where you carve through part of its back as you can see the flesh kind of falling away as underneath it now you can see that black ichor seems to be taking hold and changing and sort of almost like it's nesting inside of this body, transforming it into something entirely different. And with 4 points of damage, this thing is looking really, really hurt, but it's not yet dead. Killian, it's your turn. It's now ran away from you, about 30 feet. as it scrambles. First, you see it starts walking on 2 feet, but sort of unsure of that, it then starts putting its hands down and kind of running in a slightly more animalistic way. And I think you can see that this strange creature is still like trying to understand like what it is and what is going on. It seems very confused. And even in the way that it runs, it's not something that it's used to or something that comes naturally, as it sort of goes down on all fours and sort of is kind of lumbering in a way rather than sort of running or sprinting like you've seen monsters do before. This is definitely something that is mid-transformation. So, Killian of Blackrest, what would you like to do?
We can't let it get away, so I'm going to take the longbow and do a ranged attack.
Amazing. So, make an attack roll, please, first of all.
3.
Unfortunately, a 3 for a total of 8 is not going to hit. As you loose an arrow, oof, I think probably you get it perfectly in your sights, and as you pull the arrow back, the damage to your shoulder, you absolutely didn't anticipate. As you go to pull it back, you can feel like tendons starting to break as you're trying to pull, and you just don't quite have the strength, and you end up loosing the arrow much earlier than you intended. As it will continue to run, this thing looks like it is about to go down. Solus, what would you like to do?
I think I have to try and make one killer blow, given that it's on its last feet.
Sure.
Do I have the option to heal him? Or?
Yeah, you have the option to if you'd like to, yeah?
Bear in mind that I can hit up to
150, I think
150.
You are.
Mm. So let me heal him first.
Absolutely. So you are going to go in and try and sort of patch up this pretty wrecked-looking shoulder. To do this, you can expend one of your... you have healer's kits with you. You currently have enough to do this 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Killian, Solus, just immediately, instinctively comes down, starts to bandage like your arm up and sort of puts it almost like in a brace. And you can feel kind of some of your like mobility in it starting to return, as you feel like you're not doing any, at least you're not going to do any further damage to it by continuing to use it, as you regain 8 points, 8 hit points.
I think thanks to Solus, I'm going to give the longbow another shot this mm-hmm. time. All right.
Okay. You make another, you loose another arrow.
Oh, 3.
3 for a total of 8 again, as you still trying to get the range of movement. Just this one, though, you do manage to loose in the right direction. However, right as the arrow is about to hit, it just like jumps one way and sort of like almost like dukes, as it's, you feel like it's starting to get a bit more control of its body now as it's scampering away from you both. You can also use your movement to kind of keep distance with it if you wanted to. But Solus, it's now your turn. You can also heal yourself as well, crucially.
I mean, I think I probably should at this point. I've got.
You really should.
Yeah, so let's do that. I'm on
legs.
3. I'm like, yeah, it's not looking good. I think that's probably necessary at this point. Let's do that.
Okay. So that's a, for you, however, it's not, it's a D8 for you.
1.
Yeah, 3 hit points back. And we are back to the top of the round. I think this creature is going to take a hard right. And you see it is barreling towards a small little outcropping, like a little kind of makeshift merchant village, like where they've essentially set up like a bunch of like tents and things like that. They're probably transporting some goods either to or from Greyview. And they've got a little campfire. And I think the flickering of the fire basically catches the beast's attention, and it heads now starts to head in that direction straight for them. Killian.
Third time's a charm. I can do it this time.
I'm going to say that having been patched up by Solus, and now having marked this thing, gotten a sense of its movements, I'm going to let you roll this with advantage. So you get to roll this twice, and then you take the higher of the 2.
3. That's 3 threes.
3 threes.
Wow. Come on. 12.
Woohoo! 12 plus 5. That is going to hit. So, how would you like to kill this thing?
So I take the third arrow, and I shoot. And the arrow runs straight through, because I'm not aiming to kill it immediately. I want to stop it so that we can examine it, because I have never seen anything like this before. I've seen people come back from the dead, but I've never seen a friend of mine or someone that I know like turned into a monster in this way.
Yeah, I think this is something that does happen, and you are aware of this. Things is why you either burn the bodies or you bury them specifically in the mountains. But I think this is probably the first time you've like witnessed a transformation. This is like it so rarely happens nowadays because obviously everyone is aware of the risks, and it is something that. You knew that you would have had more time with Maeve because the weaker the body, the longer it takes for the transformation to happen. Whereas obviously with Rhys, him being an incredibly powerful and sort of strong individual, the transformation was much, much quicker. Essentially, whatever you do will kind of like knock it down kind of regardless, and then you'll be safe to examine it, yeah.
One question. Is there any way of communicating with this monster, or
oh, so you want to do non-lethal damage potentially?
No, I want to stop it in its tracks, mm-hmm. so that we can investigate further what has happened and find out.
And potentially try to potentially communicate with it.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Let's see what happens.
Okay, so I shoot the arrow and I am aiming mm-hmm. for its like lower back so that I can paralyze it.
Mm, okay. I'll say that as you loose this arrow. It arcs, it crashes into the lower back of this creature and it pins it essentially to a tree. And you see it's there kind of like slumped against the tree, unable to kind of, it's like trying to like lift its head and like move, but it's way too weak. And you get the sense that it probably will die relatively quickly. But you do have this small window now where you could go and examine it. So do you rush forward?
Yes.
I would like, I'm going to maybe ask for different roles just because I'm sort of thinking about the way that these two different people might approach something like this. Are you also going to go and examine Solus?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say for Solus, can you make me a medicine check? And then for you, Killian, can you make me an investigation check?
That's plus 5, so for me it's 12.
Mine's 7.
I think your investigation check comes up short, not because of anything that you do wrong, Killian, but you are looking at something that was probably no longer trying to or sort of transforming into something else. There is no basis or foundation that you have for what is sort of trying to emerge. What you see is a mess. It's not to say that you couldn't, with some time, start to piece together what is happening. Specifically, but at this point it's really hard to glean any new information. With a 12 on the medicine check, you I think can find actually some pieces of like some bits of blood that are on Rhys's like clothes and on parts of his body. He died very recently. We're probably talking in the maybe 8 to 10 hours ago, which would probably kind of line up with the timeline for someone like this. And also you get the sense that it wasn't whatever, this transformation was not the thing that killed him. With examining what you can of the wounds, etc., this was absolutely done by like a knife or sort of like a blade of some description. This wasn't a monster attack. And Killian, are you going to attempt to communicate to this creature as it?
Rhys. You're still there. Are you still in there? Rhys, talk to me.
The creature looks towards you. You see the light is kind of fading out of its eyes as it tries desperately to focus on the source. And I'm going to ask you, Killian, to make me a... I'll let you choose. You can either do a persuasion or intimidation.
I do persuasion. 12...
As you desperately plead with this creature, you try to reach in and see if there is anything left of what once was in there. There is a moment as one eye kind of blinks open that it locks with you, and you see a flicker of fear in the eye.
Sorry.
as a stuttered sorry leaves its lips.
Good night, my friend. I'm sorry too.
This clawed, bony hand reaches up and sort of just almost like a nail kind of catches on your clothes.
Help us. Help. Help us. Help. Help me.
And it falls. The head lolls against the tree. As Rhys Blackhand dies. You hear frantic footsteps behind you as the guard runs up.
What the bloody hell?
It's been months since we've seen anything this side of the creek.
Did that come from the box? Isn't that Rhys?
It's not Rhys.
No, but it was, wasn't
it? It's not Rhys. And you saw nothing.
Solas, will you roll me an intimidation roll?
It's a 20.
Woohoo! Okay, our first nat 20. I love it.
Don't mess with Solas.
Solas, there is a flicker in your eye as you make eye contact with this man. And Killian, I don't think you've ever seen this before. As Solas says this, this man cowers. I didn't see anything. I didn't see you. I didn't see that thing. Oh God.
On your way, my friend.
Please don't kill me.
On your way.
And he leaves. So, what do you like to do?
Well, we have this body here. It's a friend of mine. I feel like we should bury it.
You can also burn them as well.
Oh, sorry. Of course. We should burn... No, we have to burn it because...
Otherwise, or you would have to continue the journey up to the mountain,
journey,
of course.
Yeah. But I feel like at this point, burning it is crucial. And of course, our task is over because that is
not Councillor Maeve, no.
That's not Councillor Maeve. So our objective has changed, and I think we need to dispose of this body as safely as possible. So Solas, I don't know what you think, but I think we should.
I agree. I think. To start with, we get rid, and then we try and work out what's happened here.
So typically you would build a pyre, but given what you have around you, that might be tricky. You do obviously have the cart and the wood from the coffin. There is also that small sort of little merchant outcropping not too far away, and they have a lit campfire currently.
But there are people there, is that right?
You probably wouldn't want to leave it too long before disposing of this body, just in case it should reanimate.
Do we need the cart to get back?
No, you have two horses that is like hitched to it, so you could just ride the horses back instead.
So I think we do that. I think we use the cart as the pyre.
We probably want to get away from this little village, though. We're fairly quite close to now. Find a secluded little spot.
And use the cart.
Use the cart, chuck him on. I've got some, like a tinderbox of some description. Set it alight.
You stand in a little clearing, and it's slightly kind of masked by a sort of mound of earth. The forest behind you, as you light parts of this wood, and you watch as this cart is engulfed in flames. And as the fire flickers in your eyes, the both of you can't help but wonder what exactly went wrong here. The body is burnt and disposed of. You have two horses. They aren't the fastest horses. They're not riding horses. They are shires. But you can ride them nonetheless. More than strong enough. One of them comes up to you, Solas, and just sort of nudges into you. Potentially a little scared by the fire.
I saddle the horse. I climb up onto the horse. I look at Killian. I don't need to say anything.
I am furious, incensed, livid. Avis has betrayed us. They knew what was in that box, and they knew it wasn't Maeve. And they've sent us up here on a death wish mission. Why do they want us out of the way?
Let's not make presumptions. Let's head back, and let's keep an open mind.
I want answers.
So do I.
They're going to pay for this.
As I say, let's not make assumptions.
Because Solas is a calming presence, I think, I do choose to listen to him, and I try to calm down. But in my heart, I know that something horrible has happened here, and something stinks.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Oaths and Empires. Oaths and Empires is a 12-sided studios production, and I have been your Dungeon Master, Jasper William Cartwright. Solas was played by Tom McKay, and Killian was played by Luke Dale. This episode was edited and sound designed by Oliver Moore, with original music from Cy Rutherford. Our art director on Oaths and Empires is Kyle Crompton, and other artwork by Alice Torkar and Tank Monsternova. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate and review us on whatever podcasting app you're using. You can also follow us on all social media platforms at Oaths and Empires. And stick around as I thank our angels over on the Patreon, without whom the show simply wouldn't be here. So, thank you so much to the following angels. Aeon Coney, Tove L. Gilliath, Spike Lee, Erin, Elizabeth, Noah Alice, Sarah, Quest Disaster, Nell P, in brackets, mostly 10, 1 Glambring, Havin _ Hoops, Saf_z, asterisk, Beau Dracon Manavrier, Dice _Cult, Melanie Gehrman, Sneaky Gina, Carlos Samak Hernandez, Tazadactyl, Polar Pandy, Fadburger, Vera Patrina, Lisa Waite, Heinkappy, Fanny, Fakvaral, Alexis, Himboology, Fountain 1403, Ian Hamlet, Camille A, Wintergarten, Serena of Scallops, Sharkspren, Striped Sentry, Dog of the Lord of Ratty, Lena Beans, Cine Crab, Jesse Keita, Koo and C, Josh Dominic, Lissy Nilsson, Booleen, DT, Eos, Eric, Sarah Phillips, Christian Ream, Celeste Nicole, The Druid Narx, Imperator.exe, Dylan Henderson, Matt Summermaid, Clavier, Vampire _Unicorn, Zari Lambert, Fran, Ponard, Chris B, Protato, and Wild Lupine. Thank you so much to all you incredible angels. Your support means the world, and it's going a long way to helping us keep this show going, and making sure that everyone involved is fairly compensated for their incredible work. So, thank you so much. Please continue to support the show if you can, and Crucially, if I have mispronounced your name at any point, let me know and I will make sure to re-record it. Thank you very much.